important scheduling notes. First, this is our first, this is the beginning of the rest of your life, as the saying goes. This is our first week for the rest of the season, which will we're off of the official sponsorship, which means that the participants please need to sponsor if we could continue enjoying our Kashmir's refreshments. We take the opportunity to thank the Gutmans, George and Shoshana, for sponsoring this week. And we'll give you some time, and that is because, as you may have noticed in the email today, this is the last year that we'll have before Pesach. What day of the week does Pesach end?
Thursday?
Okay, so we're definitely not having a shir that day. So I guess the week after, Mirza Shem will probably start up again. Okay. So I want to speak about, unless I have a wedding. At Grossman? Okay, anyway. All right, we'll worry about that then. Stay tuned. So the topic for this evening, Kisvei HaKodesh, and then some issues of what is required to be put in Sheamus, etc., really could be a Sefer Dvarim topic, but it also does have relevance, I think, indirectly to Parshas Kitisa. Of course, unfortunately, the highlight, or lowlight, as you will, of the Parsha is when Moshe breaks the Luchos, the infamous Pasuk and Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yutes, Vayik Asher Karav El Machaneh. He's coming down the mountain, Vayaras Egel, and he sees Egel, Mcholos, and he sees everything that's going on there. Vayikar Ach Moshe gets so angry, Vayash Lech, excuse me, Miyado Et HaLuchos. He throws down the Luchos, Vayashavero Som Tachasahar, and he breaks them at the bottom, at the foot of the mountain. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Pei Zayin, very famous Gemara, talks about three different things: Gimel Devarim Asa Moshe Midaito, the Hiskim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Imo. That Hashem Moshe did on his own. Usually he was Eved Hashem; he did only what Hashem told him. There are three times he took initiative, and Baruch Hashem, the Rabbanu Shlolem, ended up agreeing with him. And the Gemara traces these, and one of them we're told is the fact that Moshe breaks the Luchos. And the Gemara asks, "Umenowan dehiskim akadosh baruch hu yado." How do we know that Hashem agreed? Maybe Hashem thought it was a mistake, a rash decision. And the answer is no. The pasuk that we learn of Shir Shibarta, Torah, again, if you just read it literally, just telling us that they were broken. But Amar Reish Lakish, he says, "Yasher koach Shibarta." He understands it as a yasher koach that Hashem gave him. It's obviously a drush, but this is the drush that the Gemara quotes. So a number of Mefarshim on Chumash ask the question, how is this possible? How could Moshe do it? And how could Hashem give him a Yeshakayah? After all, the Luchos have Shem Hashem, the Kisvei HaKodesh, how could you break them? So most answer, the Pardes Yosef, for example, collects a little bit later in the Parsha, based on the Gemara and Maseches Menachos, that talks about the concept that sometimes of Es Lasus Hashem, and the Heter writing down Tarash Malfeh, and that is the notion of sometimes we have an idea of Bitula Kikyuma. Sometimes by, if you will, breaking the law, we're actually reinforcing, strengthening, and fulfilling the law in certain radical cases. And this essentially was that notion, that if the whole idea of respecting and reverence for Kisvei HaKodesh is the right approach that we're supposed to have to Hashem in the Torah, so here, by breaking the Luchos, we were actually doing more to educate the Jewish people to that correct approach than we would have if we had just held on to the Luchos. But one thing you see from this whole discussion is it's predicated on the assumption that there was potentially a problem, that ordinarily you would not have been able to do such a thing, that there is a prohibition, or another way of saying it is in a positive way, there are regulations in the positive way for how we treat Kisvei HaKodesh. So I wanted to look a little bit more broadly, even not just in Kisisa, but really all of these five parshios now at the end of Sefer Shmos, we speak about the Mishkan. So the whole, obviously one of the themes, of course, is the man's ability to inhere and infuse Kedusha into physical objects. But Memela, as we see with the Mishkan, once you've had the ability to infuse Kedusha in objects, then of course there are halachos that regulate how one treats those very objects. So that is my basic theme for tonight. What are the halachos that regard the way we treat objects of Kedusha, and which ones, if at times there are some, do we have to be very careful about disposing of? So the basis of the losase, in terms of which requires us then to act in a positive way, but the reason we're so nervous, the basic halacha that guides us comes from a Gemara Maseches Matos, which is actually familiar to some of you here who came to those Shabbos shiurim I gave a little while back on taking down the old shul. Because it actually all comes from the same pasuk and the same halacha, and therefore from this same Gemara. It's psukim in Devarim, in Perek Beis. Marshes Rie, and right in the beginning of Perek Beis, psukim Beis Rudalid, we're told about the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael when you'll come in, and you have to Asher Tishmor and Lasos, and then we're told Abe to Abdun, right? We're supposed to destroy us from Akamos, all the Avodah Zarah that's there. And then we're told, V'nitatz them, Es Mizbechosam, you'll destroy their Mizbechos, V'shibrat them, Es Matzavosam, V'asharehem, Tisrafum Ba'esh, V'sil Alehem, Tekadeun, V'ibaratem Es Shemom. And then, climactically, Lo Sasun Kein, L'Hashem Elokeichem. But you shouldn't do this. What's this? What shouldn't you do? So Rashi, really paraphrasing a Sefre, it's also from this Gemara Maseches Makos, tells us that there's a losase, all the things you're obligated to do the Avodah Zarah, it's a losase to do to the Mizbeach or parts of the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to destroy even a little piece of the Beis HaMikdash, etc., etc. That's what's known as the Isser Netitza. And beyond that, not just parts of the Mizbeach, but any Shem Hashem, there's a prohibition, the Gemara says. What is the Shem Hashem? So this is not our topic, although it could have been. This is a Gemara Masechta Shavuos. Daf Lamed Hei tells us about the Sheva Shemos, Shemim, Nimchakim. Of course, there's a lot more than seven names, but there are seven names, you know, some of the ones are obvious, Yud Kei Vav Kei, things like that, which are things which are prohibited in this Isser D'Oraisa of Ibud, Shem Hashem. There are all sorts of halachic discussions which are fascinating, and again, perhaps for Parshas Re'ei, Shir, the issues of, for example, the city of Beit El. Are you allowed to say that, or it has to have to be Beit Kael? Right. What about Yisrael? Right. Or Raphael. Names, right? I have a friend who I always call Raphael. Right. Daniel. Right. Are you allowed to spell? And you'll see sometimes it's spelled with a chichik. Right. Shmuel. Right. 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 Yishmael, for example. So names we assume are not that really don't have any Kedusha. As somebody I recently heard said very aptly, even if Yishmael had turned out better, it still wouldn't have had Kedusha. At least on his name. But these are major shilas, especially depending, a lot of it depends on if you see that it's really one word or a conjugation of really of two. Some of the, if you will, a side way that this is actually fleshed out in halacha, interestingly enough, comes from Hilchos Gittin. Because the shilas is when you have these names, can you write the name on two lines or not? Or does it have to be on one line? If it's one word, it has to be on one line. And if it's two, it could be theoretically on two lines. So it's an interesting way to get at these halachas. You see the interconnectedness of halacha. But be that as it may, that's some of those things come up in terms of, you know, Shem Hashem, Shalom, the whole status of the name of Shalom, you know, that type of thing. There's one which a lot of people are mafia on, but this is for practical reasons, that's the name of Yehuda. Where does Yehuda come from? You'll see, actually, very often you'll see people spell it with an aleph at the end, not a hey. Why? Because what if you forget the dalet? That's Yud Kev, okay. So in Shulchan Aruch, actually, they recommend some, you know, being very careful, perhaps, with the name of Yehuda. But be that as it may, that's the idea of Shem Hashem and the Isser of doing anything that in any way would be Nimchak, Shem Hashem. The Rambam, and the witness we spent a lot of time on in some of the earlier Shabbos Shirm of a few months ago, a month or so ago, the Rambam, in his Minyan HaMitzvot, the Rambam has his famous Sefer HaMitzvot, it's a separate work, but the Rambam also has a Minyan HaMitzvot, which he published before the Mishnah Torah. Sefer HaMitzvot is a separate Sefer. But he also has a Minyan HaMitzvot, the Minyan Taryag, before Mishnah Torah. And there, in his Losa Seifamachay, when he's collecting, when he tells over this prohibition, he mentions all sorts of Sefer Nevi'im and other things, that's a Shem Hashem, literally. And then he adds even Ubatek Nisios. He even adds Shuls. That's, of course, was the theme back then. And it's a tremendous Chiddush, which many posts discussed. Is the Rambam saying that to destroy a part of a shul is an Isser D'Oraisa? It's hard to imagine, since shuls are a historical invention, certainly post-biblical. So this is a major discussion in Achronim, and just as a very short thumbnail review, I don't think it's an even debate, but for the sake of tonight's share, we'll mention one on each side of it. The Avnei Nezer is a believer that the Rambam does hold that it is an Isser Daraisa. And Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector and the Tshuva Sein Yitzchak, again, these are all Tshuvas here on Yomar HaMakom Rashid, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector held that the Rambam did not really mean that, not only because it's hard to believe, but because in other places the Rambam, when he repeats this halacha, he leaves out the Batik Nisiyos. So there's a lot of side evidence as well. And therefore he assumes that that's only an Isser Darabanan. Again, it's not Mutter. It's not Dibrei Rishus. There are halachos about it. That's what we discussed in those shiurim. But not Isser Daraisa necessarily. How do you understand? Just as a parenthetical, or just as a background, what might this machlokas be about, or how could we understand this issue? So really, it really goes to, I think, a very important chakira. This I didn't really spell out so much in the Shabbos Shurim, of how do you understand this halacha of Ibud, Sifrei Kodesh, Shem Hashem, etc. One perspective is to assume that certain things, because of Shem Hashem or other reasons, there's an infusion of Kedusha into that chepsa, into that object. The object is objectively kadosh, and as a reflection of that kedusha, there is this iser of being disrespectful, so to speak, or destroying. If that's the case, so then it really is hard to understand how the Rambam could say a Beis Knesses has an iser daraisa. It's hard to believe that a Beis Knesses has kedusha daraisa. The truth, though, is, as we mentioned in the Shurim, there's one Rishon, the Sefer Reim, and one or two Achronim who actually do believe that Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is Daraisa, but that's a major Chiddush. So if we were to assume that it's really because of the Kedusha and the Chatsa, so then it's likely, again, not guaranteed, but it's likely we'd be more in Rav Yitzchak Elchanan's camp and assume that it's only Darabanan for a Shul, as well as other things which have a real Shem Hashem, so then maybe those could be Daraisa. However, there is another way to look at the whole halacha, which may very well be the Shita Sarambam, at least in this Minyan Tayag Makar, and that is not so much an idea of something that's caused by the Cheftza, if you will, but rather, maybe something more broadly, again, I don't want to sound too trite about it, but it may be more of a Gavra issue, namely, not so much, again, what's inherent in the Cheftza, but rather, that the Gavra, the person, is prohibited to display contempt or disrespect to any religious article. So that may be an Isser Daraisa. We are not allowed to show contempt or disrespect to any religious article. If that's the case, then my nafkamina, if it's a religious article, midarabanan or midaraisa. Once it's a religious article, if I were to show contempt it, that would violate the Isser Daraisa, showing contempt to religious articles. And it could be that that's the idea of the Rambam, why he could theoretically even... Again, unless you assume that he holds that there's a Kedusha Daraisa, but that's very hard. So perhaps another alternative understanding of the Rambam is that he holds that this whole general halacha may actually be much more widespread. Again, not to forecast too much into what we'll get to shortly, but when we think about also the Tzvar Torah pages and Parsha sheets and all sorts of things which are very far removed from inherent Kedusha, but perhaps the reason why we may have to expand the scope of these halachos is because it's not just something that's limited or generated by the Kedusha of the Chet. So it may be this broader idea of the, again, in a negative sense, the prohibition of showing disrespect, or if you would want to say in a positive way, the chiyuv to show respect towards religious, so to speak, articles. It's possible to show, I think there's a number of issues which may, so to speak, reflect this idea. For example, so one issue would be the issue of the shuls. Now, as I mentioned, on the one hand, the Rambam in his one Maramachum does include shuls, and that might be explained by the second Mahalach. Although, as I said, in the Rambam in his Los HaSeis, in the Sefer Mitzvos, in the Torah, the Rambam then leaves out shuls. So Avnei Nezer says, no, we still stick with it. But again, it could be that the Rambam is not just not mentioning it, but it could be he's moving away. Some Achronim speak about him literally changing his mind, moving away to a different understanding. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah discusses these halachos in a few places, but the one we'll focus on tonight is in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. And there it's in Perek Vav, the beginning is Kol HaMa'aved Shem and HaShemos, HaKadoshim, HaTahorim, Shnikrav and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lokim and HaTorah. So listen, I say, Isser Daraisa min HaTorah. If you look a few halachos later, in Halacha Ches, here the Rambam broadly applies this and discusses this, not only about the object, but who created the object. So here the Rambam, when he tells us, Kisvei Kodesh, Kulon, not just actual Kisvei Kodesh on a cloth, but even Perusheihen, Ubiureihen, It's already an expansion beyond what was in the Gemara. Also, Lisra Fosam Ola Abed Biyad. Okay. And but, and we'll have to get to this shortly, Hamabed Biyad Lo Kamakas Margis, the Rabbanon. But here's what I want to focus on now. Who created this? Like, I'm not talking about any imperfections. It might be perfect. But who did it? If it was a Jew done Bekdusha, that's one thing. Avol min Yisraeli shikasa sefer Torah. But if a Jewish heretic does it, sarfenoso. You burn it even with all the shame Hashem. And avol goy shikasa ves Hashem gonzen Hashem. That's our first, ironically enough, our first mention of actual, what we call colloquially Shemus, which means Geniza, burying. It's actually said in a very negative context. If a guy should write a Sefer Torah, it can be perfect. We bury it. We don't use it. Now, the truth is, again, just getting back, we'll get to those details later in the shir, but I bring it out now just to illustrate, getting back to our Chakira, what's the whole nature of this Isser? Is it an issue of the inherent Kedusha of the Chepes, or a more broad obligation that we have? So I had suggested previously that perhaps the Rambam's extension to the shul may point to the second possibility. The truth is, though, as we said, he really does not have that Mishnah Torah because he leaves that shul there. Plus, this particular psak, L'chaorah, very much focuses on the first tzad. Because, depending on who wrote it, who gives it a lishma, that obviously very much focuses on the inherent Kedusha. But if something looks otherwise perfectly like a Sefer Torah, and the whole nature of the Isser is we're not allowed to show disrespect to things, it would be less likely that we would make such a distinction. Again, the Torah was otherwise, it's perfectly there. It may be lacking something inherently in the Kedusha, but our general attitude towards it, the idea of, let's say, for example, Sarfin, Sefer Torah v'min, so that L'chaorah points really more to the first one. I'll mention another idea which may bring out this particular question. For example, do these halachos, even again, I'm talking about Shem Hashem, Daraises now, I'm not talking about Parsha Sheets and stuff, we'll get to that. But just what if it's Shem Hashem, but it's not written in the Ksav Ashuris? It's not written in the type of Ksav that has to be for Kisvei HaKodesh. Does it still have such a requirement? If you would assume yes, then you must be observing a broader definition, because it does not have the Kedushas of the Chepetz that it would need to be actually Kosher. Like what? You mean like Haftara stuff? No. I'm not talking about printed stuff now. I'm talking about the Kisei HaKodesh. I mean the cloth stuff. I'm talking about even those cloths. Yes, Sifrei Nevi'im, but the Rambam was talking about, he meant on a cloth. That was what Rambam was talking about, on a cloth. Huh? Yes. I didn't see discussed. Or another thing, we have this in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Gittin, Chok Tokos. And Chok Tokos isn't when you engrave the actual letter, but you rather carve out around, and what that leaves is the imprint of a letter. So that's a very fascinating concept, which is discussed. Is that Ksiva on Shabbos? Is that Ksiva on Get? So what about here? What about Chok Tokos?
Is that on the Buches?
Okay, good. So the Beis Shlomo has a tshuva. The Beis Shlomo has a tshuva where he says, "What about if you make a Shem Hashem with Chok Tokos?" So he says that most poskim says would allow you could erase that. Now again, if it has to do with our general attitude towards Shem Hashem, l'chor that should be osur. But it is lacking the technical kedusha, so maybe that explains it. Let's. Right. Yeah, correct. Once it's done. Just to mention, before we get to the broader topic, because most of us are not dealing necessarily with the actual tefillin klops or the Sifrei Torah, I want to get to some of the broader practical questions. But just, anyone been in a motel recently? You have a Gideon Bible? So this is a real Shiloh. What do you do with these things? This is the question. So what do you do? Both Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Avadi Yosef have tshuvas where they discuss, they don't use them by name, but they're missionaries. And they specifically speak about, whether it be them or someone else, they speak about Bibles written by missionaries. That's a classic example. But I don't know if Lav Dafka or Moshe throws some like extra oomph on it because they're missionaries. But the truth is, the basic idea would be even if they wouldn't be missionaries. But let's say you have the typical Christian Bible, which means it has the Testament, which they call the Old Testament, and then it has their Brit Chadasha, as it's quoted in Poskim. No joke, they call it the Brit Chadasha, the New Testament. I was surprised they showed that much respect, but they did. I saw it. I did see it. Brit Chadasha. So Moshe has the following. So you would think, right, based on what I read before, Myron, Rambam says, again, the Rambam is based on a Gemara, Mesechus Gittin, Daf Mem Hei, Sefer Torah, Shenitha Vayei Akum, you bury. So Rav Moshe comes up with the following Chiddush. Rav Moshe says, that was only by some guy, you know, he's just a regular guy, and you told him, write something, he wrote something. But a guy who is Oduk, that's Rav Moshe's words, Oduk, Vavodah Zarah, he's cleaving. He's a frum guy, in other words. But he's a frum of Avodah Zarah, Nick. So then Rav Moshe says, he's not any better than a Min Yehudi. A Min Yehudi is this ideologue who has the wrong ideology. So what, because he's Jewish somehow makes it worse? A guy who's really ideological, who's Oduk in his Minus, whether that Minus is a perverted form of Judaism or non-Jewish religion, says Rav Moshe it's the same thing. It also has a Chi of Sreifa. Okay, doesn't matter. So the Gemara speaks about Kinuyim also and other things. Again, so that specific, the Sefer Torah verses, some poskim, Rav Moshe included, raised possibly as a Tzad Lahetzer. We'll see Rav Avadri may take that more seriously. But Rav Moshe only Tzad Lahetzer for one second. The real Frum Shtark Gideon or whoever, did he write the book? No, it was in some caucus. Some guy pushed the button, you know, in the midnight shift. He had no Kavanis. Yeah, well, I'm talking about Tanya. One of these big things that has everything. Christian Bible has old and
by virtue of it having the so-called New Testament, it's Avodah Zarah. I mean,
Rav Moshe says, but maybe the guy who prints the thing, so he's not Oduk in anything. He's just the guy working, trying to, you know, hold down a job. So Rav Moshe says, listen, again, it's similar to what Alan said, since there is Minas in there, it's a bizayon for the Torah to be in the same book, and therefore we go by the intent of the one who decided to put them together, whoever. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, take it home and burn it. I heard the same thing from Rabbi Willie. Take it home. The mitzvah parches are A. I'll put in a new one. Good. So it's a little bit less money for the missionaries, he says. Okay.
But not the
towels. I think that's true according to the motel manager also. No? I think that's true according to the motel manager also. No? Okay. No, you have to go out, but I think they're giving them to you. No? Well, I don't know. Okay, so don't burn it, it's okay. Rav Avadi Yosef has a tshuva. He says a very, very similar, at the end of the tshuva, he actually goes to Rav Moshe, but the whole tshuva is very similar. He does mention, perhaps, that there's some achronim who say it's worse for the Sefer Torah as opposed to something like this printed Bible, but then he also wants to be machmir. The only thing that the whole tshuva basically sounds like he's just going to be machmir, that at the end of the tshuva, where he, if you're familiar with the Yichav Adas, he has like a sikum at the bottom, he basically says, rip out the Old Testament. That you'll take home, you'll put it on the shelf. Okay, that they're not getting it. They're not being. There was no deal on King James. It was not King James. And Rav Avadia suggests that there would be no problem technically. Rav Avadia says it's not a nice thing. I'm not discussing a bit of Talmud Torah, but I think so.
There's a new translation of the Torah called Eitz
Chaim.
I'm sure you know that, though.
Right. So that one, yeah, you may have to burn that. I mean, I'm not saying you have to go out. I'm not saying it's a mitzvah, but it's a beferish halacha. Again, it sounds very radical. This is beferish and shulchan aruch. I think they may. Okay, that's now. Let's get to things that are more relevant, less sensational, a little more relevant. So the Rambam I alluded to already. The Rambam, after quoting the Isser D'Oraisa, the Rambam then says that there's an Isser D'Rabbanan. The Rambam is getting well, if you will, off of the topic. We start off with Shemos, right? It's important to mention, it should be obvious, but I found that this particular issue is not obvious at all. Shemos is Shmo Kein Hu. That's where the term Shemos comes from. It's talking about Shem Hashem, which is how the original halacha is mentioned in Maseches Makos and Maseches Shavuos. So then the Rambam says, well, we're not just talking about Perushim al HaTorah and things like that, but the Rambam even speaks about, excuse me, not even just Sifrei Nach, but Perushim u'Birein, even Perushim on the Torah. So that has nothing to do with Shem Hashem. And yet the Rambam says, Makas Marzus, which is the Kesef Mishnah explains this, because that's a Derabanan extension. The Halacha of Daraisa, according to most, is limited to something that has Shem Hashem. There's no Chiyuv Daraisa with the Parsha sheets. But, says the Rambam, anything that has a beer or a perish of the Torah, so that is an Isser Derabanan to mistreat. Now, the issue which comes out of this is L'chora, then you don't just have a problem with your kids' Parsha sheets. Right? The Jewish Times has a Dvar Torah. Once every few weeks, it's a from Dvar Torah. That's not a joke. The Jewish Week in New York. Right? The Yassin Nemen, HaMishpacha, whatever you like to read. So, most of it is nothing to do with Torah. But there's some Dvar Torah in all these things. At least some. So, Shaz, what do you do with those? I'll ask you another thing. What about a wedding invitation? What about a wedding invitation? Do you have a pasuk? Now, again, not a made-up pasuk. Most invitations, yeah, made up a pasuk for a reason. But if you have a ni ladodi v'dodi li, first of all, you have two problems. One is that's a real pasuk. Number two, who's ladodi? That's Hashem. That's a kinui for Hashem. So those are real shilas. But again, most people are not super duper makpid in these kind of things. The question is why? Are there heterim? Right. So one answer is because they don't think about it. That's true. But let's try to be down with Morsos. So where is the mocker? Until now we've been speaking about the Isser. Where's the mocker for the mitzvah of taking care of these things and giving them proper due? So this comes from a Gemara Maseches Megillah and the Chavavim of Beis, which speaks about, again, the prime case of a Sefer Torah. We have an old Sefer Torah, it's become worn and shorn, it's just not worth, or maybe impossible to fix. What do you do with it? So the Gemara there tells us that it should be buried in an earthenware vessel, in a Kli Cheres, next to a Talma Chacham. And parenthetically, there's a fascinating Machlokas Achronim about that. Why? There's a Marcheshes, I forget who the other party of this Machlokas is, but some say it's a tremendous covet for the Talmud Chacham to have a Sefer Torah buried next to him. And others say it's a tremendous covet for the Sefer Torah to bury the Talmud Chacham. What's the nafkamina? If you have no Talmud Chacham buried in the cemetery. Now you don't have to go kill a Talmud Chacham to bury the Sefer Torah. But you may have to wait. You may have to wait until the Talmud Chacham dies. So then we could have a big citywide debate. Is he a big enough Talmud Chacham? Was he not a Talmud Chacham? I never liked the shurim. 8 years ago he misread something. Okay, so that's the label.
Whether when he gets buried or buried.
No, someone's already been buried. And obviously you would I don't think we would disinter anybody. But if there was a place next to the Talmud Chacham, that's what you're supposed to do. It's like a din in the Gemara.
But you also bury his dead next to
him. Not that
I'm aware of.
The bear I didn't know that.
The rugged shepherd told them.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I didn't know that. Very nice. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this as well. And the Mishnah Berurah, even though the Gemara is talking about a Sefer Torah, the Mishnah Berurah says it applies to the Sifrei Nach that are written on klafs. Okay? In Neisrael, do they read from a klaf Torah?
Sure.
Right. So not all yeshivas, but some yeshivas. While you also... So in the basement, they do that. So those are those little things. Those are, again, those are buried also. So the Mishnah Berurah. So what about the Shiloh, of course, is what about printed Sfarim? Like this, right here. Does this have to be buried? Does that have to be buried in a Kli Cheres? Who does such a thing? So it's interesting. The Magen Avraham says yes. The very famous Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham in the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, actually. He seems to endorse it. Magen Avraham says this halacha, which may even be a daraisa, applies even to printed Svarim. However, the Prima Gadim and others say, we never heard of such a thing, we never saw such a thing. And in fact, the Kaf HaChaim agrees with the Prima Gadim and says, Enechanam, he doesn't have to. That's a special halacha for cloth. But while it doesn't have to be buried with the Kli Cheres, it shouldn't be discarded. It should be buried. And this is, again, in essence, the mocker for the concept of Shemus. A piece of paper rips out of a safer or something like that. The real Ikar Adin of Shemus. And it's interesting, I heard an interesting discussion recently. old Svarim very often. I had this a little while back. I went to the YU library and I needed to Xerox a very old journal. While I'm like picking it up off the Xerox machine, it's leaving crumbs all over. Crumbs is probably not the right word, but not from the actual, like from the border. What's the status of the border? So in publishing, I don't know if I'm going to remember all this, there's three different reasons that are suggested for why there are borders. Why there are borders? You ever think about that question? It's probably one of those bathroom books somewhere where somebody was. Why is it? That's not where I read it, but I heard it. But the person I heard it from, I probably did read it there. So there are three reasons. One is because it's easier on your eyes. It's easier on the eyes to have a border. Number two is, especially in the old days, when they had to go the stamp down, it gave you a bigger target. If you had to get it just exactly right, it wasn't so precise. And the third, oh, I did remember all three. And the third is because after years of turning the pages, the acid in your fingers, you would smudge the word. So this way you can just smudge nothing there. So l'chora chapsen afkamina. Because according to reason number one and reason number three, even the border is tashmishay kedusha. I'm talking about a sefer now. And it's being mishamish. It's protecting it so the acid doesn't get ruined, or so you can read it even when we consider tashmishay kedusha. Perhaps you'd have to be gone as the borders. But if you hold it just so you can get the printing right, so then l'chora is not a tashmish for the kedusha. Perhaps then you wouldn't. Book covers is a discussion. Like the actual hard cover may very well be tashmishay kedusha. If you have a book cover and then you have a jacket, like the old days you had jackets over the books. So the jacket is a tashmish to tashmish, because the cover is a tashmish, kedusha. But these are all things which could be discussed in that context.
So what about pillow bags?
Yes, it should be.
But the shekel is what covers
the... So the answer to that question is very good. The answer is probably because the yud sticks out. And the yud itself is inherent kedusha, the yud of the Tzilin Shel Yad. But it's a good question, or the ritzuos even, which are then being touched by the bag. But for example, the plastic, which is over your talus bag, and the chanami, that's a tashmish to tashmish. Exactly. So, one of the times in history where this became an exploded as an issue was really when the printing press started, and the issue there was the galleys. Not even so much the actual final copy. What about the galleys? Because the galleys are only made to be proofread. They're not made to be permanent. So this is an interesting discussion. The Netziv has a tshuva and Meshiv Nagar, where he said, in this case, he allowed disposal by burning, on the basis that when they were originally written or printed, they were never done to be permanent. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan has a tshuva in his Ein Yitzchak, and the Chazon Ish also discusses this, and they all more or less agree, but Lihiduro, they say, when you're involved in such a thing, you should have negative kavana. In other words, you should be explicit about the fact that you only mean this to be temporary, and not permanent. The assumption is that again, by these posting leases, that makes a difference. That it's only the permanent ones. Another area where this came up, which I'm not going to get into, chalkboards. I'm not joking. This is a major issue in many, many tshuvas. Right, this happens for, I don't know if they tell this in the various yeshivas, but if you have musmachim or going out on model lessons, maybe this should be something that the schools tell their people who are applying for jobs. If they're going to go in, right, so one, it seems like in Tshuva they wrote about this. It's hard to imagine it really could happen. Not just that you wrote Dvar Torah on the page. You wrote down Hashem Hashem on the blackboard. So what do you do? So most poskim hold that it's really not a problem. Again, it's all there after this. It was meant to be temporary. Yeah, real, real. Let's say Yudkei Vavkei. Okay. I didn't get to that yet. So what's the status of the Dalet of the Hay? That's going to be part of our shir. We didn't get that yet. But let's say you're real Hashem Hashem. A real full pasuk, let's say, even. That's more likely. So some posts can say, mutter. Some posts can say, leave it there, wait till the janitor comes. And they'll do it, And then there's, I forget who, I don't want to quote because I'm not going to want to misquote, but at least one post that says, got to take the chalkboard off, and they go in it. So right off. Oh, so we'll get to that too. You take my whole shirt away, Alan. Okay, so this is discussed. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating tshuva. I want to mention Rav Moshe Feinstein because it's a lumdus also, not just a psak. Rav Moshe Feinstein, we're going to get to this tshuva later also, it's a chelik yoredaya chelik dalid. Rav Moshe has the following. He basically agrees with the Netziv, but he comes at it from a different perspective. Not just this idea of temporary versus permanent. Rav Moshe says all of these things, these printed materials, for example, he says they don't have any inherent kedusha. They're what he calls hashmishay mitzvah. Namely, they're... Why? Because Rav Moshe says the only significance to any of these things, it's not inherent. not even on the Darbar level, but they facilitate Talmud Torah. That's what Moshe's Chiddush, that's a Chiddush he has against everybody. And therefore, it allows him subsequently again another one, but in this case, it allows for certain kulos. So Moshe holds, once something is already, no, I wouldn't say not being used, because then it's still roi to be used, but once it's no longer roi to be used as a teaching aid, Ramosha allows it. Now, P.S., Ramosha starts the tshuva. It's kedai just to read the opening paragraph, where he kind of he notes, and really with a little bit of a lamenting tone, the explosion of shame. It used to be how often were the shamish shamas. Now, every preschool mora, my son comes home with three things every day. Right? What kind of... the shamish shamas have exploded with desktop publishing. It's an unbelievable phenomenon, where really the volume of tshuvas and issues have changed. What about newspapers? I mentioned newspapers. So the first, I think the earliest, one of the earliest to discuss this was the Achiezer, Chaim Ozer. So Chaim Ozer discusses newspapers that use the word God, whatever language that would be, Gimel Ayin Tes, or Gut, or G-O-D. God. Now P.S., also, I'm almost positive, again, unless someone could really convince me otherwise, the G-D and G-O-D are the exact same thing. What's G-O-D? G-O-D has no inherent Kedusha. G-O-D is a kinoy or a remez for Hashem. But if that's what you mean when you say G-D, there's no mile of the dash over the O. Now, I think Rav Shechter quotes Rav Soloveitchik as being makel on God with the O, so he's probably on racing on the block. So he'd be just as makel on the dash. But if you think there's a reason to be makel on the O, I have no idea what the svara is that it's somehow mutter for the dash. That's not saying the name. I mentioned that in the beginning. First of all, names, whether names are really Shem Hashem, I mentioned right at the beginning of this year. Most posts can say that's a chumra ba'alma, but there's nothing. As I mentioned, Yishmael. He wouldn't have been Kaddish if he turned out right. Because it's a name. Beit El, these kind of things. Most possible, it's nothing. But, and that's a Hidra of the Ba'alma. But anyway, the point is, the Achiezer discusses what if you have either Psukim, Torah verses, it could be in English, whatever, but you have Torah themes in a newspaper. So the Achiezer basically says, listen, ideally it should be Gones, but if that's not likely, he Matir is burning it rather than it should fall completely into more disrespect. In fact, the Mincha Sikla died twice before he went to the Eidah Haredes. He was in Manchester, in England, so they had a Jewish chronicle. So he also has a tshuva, but the Jewish chronicle. So he also says that better it should be Gones, but if it has to be Torah in it, but if it's going to be otherwise just the left, who knows what, better it should be... probably not. I'm not talking my topic for tonight, but that's in economy, that's a related point. Okay. I think that's all the same. Hashem, God, that's all. Whatever it is, it's the same. Okay, let's try to get a few other things discussed. One of the issues, which is we're going to get to where emotion has been cooler, so one of the issues is passive versus active. What if you leave something and someone else, I mentioned like the chalkboard, you'll just leave it, something will happen. So the Lachorah, the Beferish Gemara and Masechah Shabbos, it speaks about somebody having Shem Hashem on their body, the issues of going to the mikvah, or you know, being tovel, and it'll get washed off. And there, even the one who's machmer that you should cover somehow your body, it seems clear it's not to prevent it from being washed off, but just that you shouldn't be naked with some kind of a shem hashem or something on your body. It's actually a side factor. And therefore, the pashtus is that anything that's passive, that's a gram that's going to be indirect, should be mutter. Most Rishonim learn the Gemara that way, but there is a Rashi, perhaps, and then a Meiri, say that's only because it's depending if you hold tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. If you're doing a mitzvah and accidentally something happens, there's a mechika of shame Hashem, maybe then it's okay. But if it's not for a mitzvah, it might not be okay. This is a machlokes. But Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank suggests in a tshuva that perhaps we could say the following. If it's a daraisa shaila, which apparently wasn't a gemara, so then that's the machlokes. But if you have, so to speak, tartil l'tevusa, namely, it's only going to be passive, and secondly, it's only something anyway a meter rabbanon shemos, that he holds it's for sure okay. So, for example, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, and Rav Moshe Feinstein goes very far with this is at the end of that tshuva, Rav Moshe writes, and he mentions specifically Gemaras, Mishnayis, and all sorts of other things. Let's say, can you recycle them? You take them out, you put them in the bin, you leave them on the side of the street. But the garbage man picks them up, what does what will do with them? Rav Moshe says it's all mutter. All mutter. Why? Because the chiyuv to be gone them is a derabonah. They're not shame Hashem, really. And all you're doing is gram mechika. You're not doing anything. You're leaving it there. He assumes. Right, he assumes once you're not. Right, but also his point is that it's passive. So the truth. truth is, I don't know that many people who would be comfortable, including myself, putting a Gemara out there. Where Moshe says, look, you look, don't trust me, look at the Ibris Moshe, it's the last, it's a very, very long tshuva. So just look at the last paragraph. Chelik is sin l'mar makum. Sure, we get a marmakum a sheet. Chelik dalet, sin l'mar makum. Yerudeh. Yeah, so this is related. Rav Moshe would hold there's nothing wrong with it. I don't know if most people do such a thing, but Rav Moshe would hold it was okay.
You don't have to bury them?
Rav Moshe would hold you would not have to. It's explicit. And it's true.
No,
I don't know if that's, I don't think that's necessarily the minhag, but that's what Rav Moshe says.
Does it make a difference about
Shem HaShem? Yeah, of course. Shem HaShem changes everything. Shem HaShem makes something...
Well,
not, it depends on... Two yuds is not a real Shem HaShem. Depends, you have to look at the sitter. Do they write out Shem HaShem? If they do, then it is an issue. Okay, but if it's not, let's just take a Gemara. Huh? Okay, I'm not looking through the Siddurim now. Okay, that's Rav Moshe's famous kula. Oh, so I would say that what I'm suggesting is as follows. What I'm suggesting is even if you don't want to go as far as Rav Moshe with the Gemaras and the Mishnayos, but it's a very strong tzad the kula for the newspapers. Very strong. Now you should just know if anyone is looking for a Chumrah. Her personal chef that holds it's a chiyuv to go and cut him out. He did it's a double chumrah. It's not mutter to throw away. But Rav Moshe, Rav Shechter also holds you shouldn't put the whole thing in Sheamus. Because then you're burying things of unequal levels. And I don't have time to get into it. But there are makaros, not only chol and kodesh, there are makaros that talk about the fact that we don't bury together different levels of kodesh. So I don't know how many people follow that. But this is a known chumrah of Rav Shechter's. I don't know what he does, but I know that he says this. You cut out the Dvar Torah, then you can be donated that, you throw out the thing. That's it, but that's two chumras. You understand why it's two chumras? He doesn't know if you can throw any of it out, but he doesn't know if you can't throw it all to shames. You have to cut out the Dvar Torah. I don't think everyone holds that way. I only have a few more minutes, I don't want to hold you late like last time, but I have a few other very interesting things to get to. So, what about Bay's hay on top of the letter? You get a letter that says Bay's hay on top. You have to go and eat it? Okay. So, the truth is, Joey, you have a good marktor. It's a B'Ferish Gemara, Mesechta Rosh Hashanah, that says that one of the takanos of the Yevonim was you weren't allowed to mention Shem Hashem. So when the Chashmonaim took over, they made a takana that you should always, even in Shtari Adyotos, even in general secular letters or contracts, you should write. And the Gemara's Lashon is, let me see what it was exactly, a quote for you. The Gemara says, B'shnas kach b'kach, l'yochanan kohen gadol, l'keil elyon. They stay with their takana. But the Gemara says that when the Chachamim heard about it, they said, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? These Shtaros, once the contract is paid, can be thrown in the garbage. And they right away overruled the Chashmonaim, they were mevatel it, and because of that, takana, to be mevatel, the Chashmonaim takana, they made a yontif. That's a Gemara in Rebbe. So that sounds like it's really not a good thing, you shouldn't do it, but if you do it, it sounds like you have to treat it very seriously. Very seriously. So the truth is, the Ramah says you shouldn't mention Shem Hashem in any type of secular type of thing which is likely to be thrown out. The issue is that that's talking about real Shem Hashem. What about Ramazim or Kinuyim to Shem Hashem? So this is a major machlokus. Going back to the Sefer Hasidim spoke about two yuds. Are two yuds considered Shem Hashem? I mean, they're not really Shem Hashem. They're nicknames. They're Kinuy. Sefer Hasidim says there's no cover. You can erase such a thing. The Chida in one of his Svarim talks about the Hay. There's no Kedusha whatsoever. You can erase such a thing. However, the Ramah and the Tshuva, the Chavos Dvar and the Tshuva disagree. It's a machlokas. It's a major machlokas. Kale. Ben said, maybe not the Raisa, but at least the Rabbanon. At least the Rabbanon. Kale? Okay. I aimed at Gemara. That's just a Gemara. That is a Gemara. So the Rugged Shavar and others speak about this, and the Rugged Shavar holds that the hay is a real issue. And therefore, again, you have to understand the irony. Because it's a real issue, says the Rugged Shavar, who was famous for writing many, many letters of the Torah, all of his Mechtavei Torah, the famous Rugged Shavar postcards. The Rugged Shavar held, it's a terrible thing to write Bay's hay on top of anything. It's going to get thrown out, because you just get yourself into trouble. He holds it's a problem. So, but again, ironically enough, those hold it's nothing, so there should be no problem throwing it out. So what do? So choose Rav Moshe. So first of all, Rav Avadia, the tshuva, where he goes through all of this, and then he says he thinks it's a good thing. You can rely on those who say it's okay to throw out, but it's still a good thing, and if you remember it's better, you should be going to them. He's okay with it. But Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating tshuva. Moshe Feinstein basically says, listen, technically you can assume like Rov Achronim that there's no Isser in these nicknames. The Hey, the Dalit, all that stuff. However, says Moshe, what's the point of it? Moshe says, it's nothing. What's the key of fighting the base? Hey, it's nothing. Moshe, making fun is too strong, but he came out making fun of it. He says, what's the point? Do a cost-benefit analysis. It may be a halakhic problem, and there's nothing gained. Moshe is very against doing it. Then he adds at the end, if you want to do something, he's the one who came up with the idea, I think. At least he popularized the idea. He writes down that tshuva b'siyata d'shmai. So that's mamish nothing, according to everybody. Or is it be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach as a, you know, an abbreviation. That he says might also be okay for everyone. But the real point of Moshe says is you don't need it. And he says, why are you getting yourself into trouble for it? Because then you become a shayla of Shemus. Two more quick issues. I'm going to be just a few minutes over. Rav Moshe Feinstein and others discuss what about tape recordings. If you have psukim or shurim on tape, can you erase that? So Rav Moshe says Pashtus should be okay because there's no real letters. But Rav Moshe nevertheless has a chumri. He says you shouldn't really just erase it because it's nearer kemachikas Hashem. He's not into that. He's not into it. But I think it's clear by omission. Rav Moshe, not saying you have to be gonaze it. If you have a tape, you're done with it. You don't have to throw. You can throw it out. Tape that rips. You can throw it out. But the shailus, could you erase it? That Rav Moshe says maybe not. Rav Avadya has no such equivocations. Rav Avadya goes through this also, and he says, it's mamish nothing. He says, electronically, this, that, and the other, there's something there. It doesn't matter. It's ain't a near la'ayin. No one could see it. Even if you could see it, you wouldn't know what it was. Rav Avadya says, it's no problem. Throw it out. Erase it. What do you mean I'd like to play it? You ask me, are you Yotze with it? Why not? Okay, that is, you're asking a different shaila. I think the answer is no. It's no problem. Yeah, no problem. But that's a different shaila. Let me get to the last topic where Mamish is ready to be done, and that is computer screens. This is Mamish computer screens. Computer screens. An Xera on the computer in the first place. Right, okay. So there's a fascinating Gemara Maseches Megillah at Daf Lamed Beis. Rav Masna says, Haluchos v'habima ein lahem kedusha. The Luchos and the Bima. What are the Luchos? What's the Bima? So the Bima is not our concern. What's the Luchos? So it's Machlokos Rishonim had to understand that. Some Rishonim hold that it mean the blank spaces in a Sefer Torah. But the Rambam holds, it's the chalkboards that were used to teach children. This gets to your Shaila. I was waiting until now with Marcel. So that, and Rav Yitzchak Elchanan in Yitzchak quotes this Rambam, and he says he proves from here that if there's no positive intent for permanent writing, then you see that there's no Kedusha, there's nothing wrong, therefore, with Mechika. So if you wanted to use this, you could suggest that obviously Alachas Kama Vakama Vakama, you're talking about a computer screen where even if you would assume it's fully ksav, which I'm going to take back in a second anyway, but even if you would assume it's fully ksav, it's obviously in extreme sense not meant to be permanent and therefore should be no problem. The real answer to the question why Lechora is completely mother is because there's nothing there. I'm not going to try. I actually did a little reading today to understand how a computer screen works. I may or may not understand it, but I still don't understand the level I can say it over to you. Many of you probably know these things much better than I do. But the thing with the lights going, who knows how many times a second in a minute, there's nothing there. There is no writing. I'll give you a raya, perhaps Mita Rabbanan, and Echanami, unless it be other malachos, but the malach of Ksiba and Echanami. And I'll give you a raya according to almost all poskim. Not again, you have to be careful because obviously different areas of malach are made from Agdaros, but almost all poskim hold that even if you'll think that certain types of writing are usher on Chalamoid, but the typo on a computer screen is mutter. So some poskim say to print out may be the problem on Chalamoid. I've discussed this on Chalamoid in years past. But actually typing, Lechora is nothing. Again, it may be the same Hagdara, it may not be, but for now I think it's certainly a loose comparison, not identical. That is, it's not considered writing. There's nothing there. And therefore, again, I think on many, many levels there's obviously nothing wrong with the stuff that's on the screen. Okay, Yashikai to everybody. Thank you. Those I will not